When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
There are certain things that that are important to me. Those things are not money. As I said, it's important for me to be able to feed my family, of course. But having principles, that's more important to me. The way you treat people, that's important to me. What you put out into world to the world is important. I think at the end of the day, you know, whenever this is over and I'm looking back going, oh, you know, how did I live? I'm not going to say, man, I wish I had saved $100 more or, $100,000 or $1 million more. I'm going to say I did what was right for me and my family and my loved ones and even for the world, for the people I didn't love so much.
So joining us now on Speak Up with Anthony Scaramucci is actually a dear friend who's made some headlines recently. He's not the typical wealthy on guest, but I think the story is so important. And last week he made big news. I called him and said, please come on. We're not necessarily going to offer financial advice here as much as we're going to talk about the world, Don, how the world works and how when we look at business leaders, how do business leaders think versus how journalists think. And so with that in mind, Mr. Don Lemon joining the show. Welcome to the show, Don.
Thank you. Good to see you, Anthony. Always a pleasure.
Same here. Now,
I could use financial advice, by the way. So
yeah, you're smart with your money, though. I know that about you because we've talked about it in the past. You're a prudent guy and you're very disciplined, which is everything. The hallmark of this show is to tell people to be disciplined, save a little money and so forth. But this is really the show that I wanted to talk about today is a little bit about your career, a little about the twists and turns at Twitter. And then if you're okay with it, I'd like to get into a little bit of the conversation with Elon Musk, who is a self-proclaimed free speech absolutist. And we're going to talk a little bit about that for a second. But before we get there, I want to point out to people what I genuinely love about you. Okay. And you were picking on me. That is correct. Picking on me. When I was the White House communications director, okay? Now, the problem was I wasn't even aware of it because I was just getting picked on by everybody, okay? It was a huge onslaught. But like what happens in life, when people meet each other and they get to know each other as opposed to the two-dimensionalization of each other and the caricatures, friendships can form. Is that a true statement?
It is a true statement. I remember the first time I met you, I think it was in a CNN green room. And I just remember it was like you had on a ring. I don't know if it was a class ring or whatever. It was just like, I like that ring. And we hit it off. It was respectful. I don't think you were on my show. You may have been on another show before mine, maybe Anderson or something. But this is before Chris was in primetime. This is before Trump. And we hit it off, but not we weren't friends. Then you went to the White House. And then I would make fun of you. And then, you know, I just used you yesterday, or maybe the day before, when I wrote something, I did an editorial on Ronna McDaniel, and I said that was like a half a Scaramucci, that she was...
0.3, by the way. I sort of feel like I deserve to be the official score.
Yes, but we met each other, and we instantly liked each other, and we've been friends ever since. And I love you. I love your family, and
The feeling's mutual, and you're a real. What I love about you and your book, which I read a few years ago, and you came on for that, is your realness. Okay, mm-hmm. You are out there, fully transparent with your life. And I think the happiest people are that, by the way. I mean, the more transparent we are, the more comfortable we are in our own skin, the happier we are. And so you know, one of the guys that is here at Wealthion, he's a very close friend of mine, 30 years. We watched the interview between you and Elon Musk, and he wrote three words to me. He wrote oil and water. Okay. And I looked at that and I watched the entire interview, and I thought the interview was interesting because of so many things. But the specific thing was, there felt like there was tension right away. It didn't feel like there was a moment where the interview was going well. It felt like there was defensive tension on Mr. Musk's part. And so if you don't mind, take us behind the scenes. Take us into the pre-interview, the jocularity of getting into the seat, getting ready to go live. What were the conversations like with Elon and his team? And did you feel like it was slipping away before it even started?
Well, listen, it wasn't. He doesn't really have a team. He doesn't have a lot of people around him. I don't know if you know him or not. The only thing he was right on time. He came down the stairs, you know, like I forget, like what's her name in Sunset Boulevard. And, you know, he comes down the stairs with the security people.
Gloria Swanson, by the way.
It was Gloria Swanson, but I remember her name I forget her name in the movie. And I'm an old movie buff. It's early in the morning. I need to get my coffee. This is early for me. So he came, he was on time. I think he was, the only thing that they were a little bit concerned about, you know, I'll just share something with you haven't shared with anybody else, is that they were a little concerned about just giving information about Tesla, because they didn't want to sort of influence stocks or that kind of thing. And that's understandable. I said, look, I'm not CNBC. And if there's something that you can't answer, just say, I can't answer that question, or, you know, I don't want to talk about that. So that was it. I was fine. You know me, I get along with everyone. You know, I've interviewed everybody, people I don't agree with. You know, you remember during the whole run up to 2016, I mean, we would go at it on set with all kinds of people.
And then you also interviewed Donald Trump after the Megan incident.
Yeah, and we would go out for beers afterwards, you know, and I don't necessarily have to agree with people politically in order to have a conversation with them or find something relatable. So I was fine. He seemed like he was a little, you know, sort of standoffish, a little cold. And so I was like, okay, fine. We're not friends. We don't really know each other. And we sat down, and I thought the beginning was a good, it was pretty good. He was laughing, I was laughing, or what have you. The interesting thing to me was, is that I have had very tense interviews before. This wasn't a gotcha interview. I was just asking him about himself and asking him about things that he put out there. And I think I just sort of, you know, as we got going, I was sort of taken aback by, like, wow, he's not taking responsibility for anything. Like, nothing really matters to him. I was like, okay. So I just kept asking him questions, and he just became increasingly uncomfortable. But this wasn't a gotcha interview. I had nothing against Elon Musk. I just had questions about who he was, and I wanted people to get to know about him and me. And honestly, I thought it was great for people to be able to see two people like us with different worldviews sitting down and having a conversation. And, you know, whatever at the end of it, whether we go away of it with, you know, at the end saying, you know, I learned a little bit about him. He learned a little bit about me. This is great for the platform. People from different worldviews should be on this platform. That's it. But he didn't see it that way, obviously.
Okay, so that is one of the central questions I have. So he did not see it that way. And I was, you know, I was in Silicon Valley recently. I've also met with several people that are inside of the orbit of Elon Musk. One gentleman said to me, well, you know, you got to be careful because I'm in his orbit. He's going to make me very, very rich. If I say something that he doesn't like and he takes me out of his orbit, I'm going to miss the yacht. And I'm also going to miss the generational wealth for my family.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if he has no clothes on, I'm going to tell him how beautiful the clothes are, because this is a generational wealth experience for me being inside his orbit. I want you to react to that. Do you think that happens a lot with people that are in power, that they get into a little bit of a vortex, a little bit of an echo chamber?
Oh, I don't know, Donald Trump. Why don't you tell? you worked for Donald Trump. I'm sure there were lots of people around him like that.
Well, the answer to the question, obviously, politically, is yes.
Yes.
And I think we notice it now in the corporate setting as these people get power. And so, how does
power and
that
money? Power and Money. Yes. And the reaction to it has been the same. People are, you know, Don Lemon missed out on a huge opportunity with The Richest Man in the World. I don't feel that way. I feel like I am a journalist. I'm not in journalism. I don't do this because I want to be rich. Look, I like to pay my bills, of course, but I'm not doing this because I want to be a millionaire or a billionaire. I do this because this is my work. This is my life's mission. This is what I want to do. I want to inform people. I am curious about the world. I'm curious about life. I'm curious about what makes people tick. So the reaction has been, well, you know, his contract was torn up. He's going to be out of a lot of money. That doesn't matter to me. You know, I have money. I'm fine. What matters to me is that I'm honest with people, that I live up to my deal. I live up to the agreements that I make. I had an agreement with him that I was to come on the platform and I was to be me, that I'd have all the support that I would, that I could get from the company, and that he wanted a different perspective, a diverse view on the platform. That's exactly what I was doing. The money is a whole different thing. And so the reaction has been, I'm surprised that people have been reacting through economic money, greed, rather than principles, morals. This is what the man was supposed to be doing. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Now, look, I can sit down with anyone, Anthony. Anybody. Tucker Carlson and I don't agree on a lot. I can sit down with Tucker. Elon Musk and I don't agree on a lot. I can sit down with Elon Musk. But I'm not going to sit down and have some fake conversation like, oh, hey, you have kids, I have, you know, I don't have to, you have dogs, I have dogs, ha, ha, ha. There are lots of things that we need to get on the table and then off the table, and then we can develop a friendship. Then we can develop some sort of camaraderie. But I'm not going to sit there and have a fake conversation because that's, one, not who I am. Two, that's not what you hired me, so to speak, even though it didn't hire me. That's not why you want me to be a content partner, is to have a fake conversation. So I'm going to do what we're supposed to do, what is right, morally and ethically. That's what I did.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Well, if you read your book, This Is the Fire, everything that you've done would have been very predictable to anybody that read that book. But you are in a world that doesn't think like that, Don. I'm just being very candid with you. My world doesn't think like that. My world on Wall Street is about money, prestige, status. I got to go into the art world because I got to buy something unique. I may be worth $20 billion, but I have this unique piece of painting that you don't have, right? The word exclusion means to exclude, right? We both know that, right? Mm-hmm. And so people say it's exclusive. So what does it say about where we are in our society? We have somebody that controls this platform. You know, I'll probably get deplatformed after this interview, which is something I love. It's fine. What does it say about this? Is this free speech absolutist? Does he have too much power on a platform like that? It's a private platform, so he can sort of do anything that he wants.
Yeah.
On the platform. I know you've had some time to reflect upon the interview, and I admire your principles, and it's one of the reasons why I love you. But what does it say more broadly about our society right now, where we are, and what is important to us culturally?
Well, look, you know, says a lot. I was actually really surprised by the response. As I said, it's been mostly about money and greed. Greed is bad. I know you're in a world where greed is good. I don't think greed is, how much do you really need to live? And considering the way I grew up, how I grew up, the skin I'm in, being a gay man, I just don't think about those things. I've done very well in America, and we talked about that on Elon Musk and I during the interview. I've done very well, but I understand what the world is like for people like me. And so I have to buy, there are certain things that that are important to me. Those things are not money. As I said, it's important for me to be able to feed my family, of course, but having principles, that's more important to me. The way you treat people, that's important to me. What you put out into world to the world is important. I think at the end of the day, you know, whenever this is over and I'm looking back going, oh, you know, how did I live? I'm not going to say, man, I wish I had saved $100 more or, you know, $100,000 more or $1 million more. I'm going to say I did what was right for me and my family and my loved ones and even for the world, for the people I didn't love so much. So where are we now? I think we're at a point, we're at a point where I think we need to start reassessing what's right and reassessing, you know, how we feel about things. It's great to make money. People would love to make as much money as you can, but if you're going to do that to the detriment of the world, society, yourself, you know, where you can't sleep at night because you're constantly trying to make money and you're, you know, selling people out and doing other people dirty, it's not worth it. I slept really, really well last night. You can probably still hear it in my voice. I woke up an hour ago and I'm still sleepy, but I just don't worry about those things. And I think that people, we need to reassess our values in this country, especially politically as well. And you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I take a lot of flack for it because, you know, my oldest son, who I think you've met, you know, he's a Stanford Business School grad. He says, Dad, you've killed my networking opportunities. The Republicans hate you because you left Trump. The Democrats hate you because you were with Trump and you're just destroying my networking opportunities. I'm like, all right, well,
I thought you were a hero among Democrats, though, right? I mean, you and Michael Cohen are like Democrat heroes now.
No, I'm never really accepted into their reindeer games. That's okay, because I'm not really a Democrat. I'm like a moderate Republican. But I think that we view each other through these short clips, Don. Mm-hmm. We get something on the internet. We now have deep fakes. We can chop people up. We can make Joe Biden look 100 years older than he is. We can make him look like a worse stutterer. We're doing all of these different things now that turn each other into caricatures.
Yes.
And so Elon Musk is also victimized by that. So you spent an hour with him or more. Let's not talk about the caricature of Elon Musk. Let's talk about Elon Musk for a second. So if you had to write a 3-paragraph description of Elon Musk, let's say that you work for the agency and I said, okay, you met the guy, give me a personality profile. What is that?
It's complicated, emotionally, quite frankly, immature, very vulnerable. And I actually don't think he really thinks about his personal contribution to the world as much as he should. I think that he should probably spend less time, because he's very, very accomplished, less time on rockets and his business affairs and spend more time on his personal growth. He's very successful business-wise. He's successful in his career, but I don't think he has a successful personal life. And you can see his vulnerability when you talk about characters or caricatures. I could feel his vulnerability, and I could feel it when he was answering questions, because, again, the questions were not that hard. If Anthony Scaramucci asks Don Lemon, Don, why'd you tweet this? And I would just say, hey, you know, let me read it. Oh, it says this. And then you said, well, your facts are wrong. And I'd go, oh, wow, I got that wrong. I'm sorry, I apologize. It's wrong. You know, I should do better. I'll do better. He doesn't have that. He's not used to people telling him,
right,
you know, facts. He's not used to people asking questions. He's not used to answering questions from people. That was my assessment. So I thought he was, and I don't mean that in a terrible, I don't mean to, I'm not, you know, disparaging him. You know, I have vulnerabilities. There are ways that I can grow emotionally. My EQ isn't as high as it could be. I think I have a pretty high EQ, but it could be better. I just think if he spent more time on that, then he would not have been uncomfortable with the questions. He would just answer them and move on.
So I was asked by a investor in Twitter, now known as X, a very large investor, what I thought of the whole thing. And I said to the person, well, listen, I know Don a long time. I don't know Elon Musk, but I think he made a mistake because making a decision like that, that abruptly, is an exertion of power. And it shows that somebody can be moved emotionally in the moment to make decisions like that. And what we find is that when you have power like that, you have to have checks and balances around you, whether it's the constitutional authority of the government or it's a corporate authority. Too powerful, you end up making impetuous decisions. And if he's really trying to create a free speech environment on Twitter, then he's got to let people like you ask the questions that you were asking. And by the way, I thought your questions were predictable, not that they were bad questions, but they were predictable in the sense that you were really trying to get to who he was. They were good journalistic questions. You were digging. You know, it wasn't like you were out of left field and asking things that were not inside the bellwether of someone like him should be expected to answer. So, but I want you, if you don't mind, because we get, you know, what I do is I send out to viewers, all right, I've got somebody coming on, Don Lemon. What are the questions? Blah, blah. And one of the questions people, I think people understand, you've said on The View and other places, including here just now, that you weren't hired by Elon Musk. And so I think people don't understand the deal if you were. So what do you mean by the fact that you weren't hired by Elon Musk? And so if you're willing to talk about it, what was the deal? You were going to do what exactly?
So the deal was is that Elon Musk tweeted out last summer after I left CNN, it would be great for you, Don Lemon, to join the platform a couple of times. And then Tucker joined and he said, this is what Don Lemon and others on the left. And he said, that was one of my first questions. Why do you think I was on the left? That's what we should be doing or, you know, on the platform. And so I said no to everybody because I took the summer off. I think I talked to you a little bit about this. I didn't know what I was going to do. I said, I don't want to just jump back on TV or jump back into something. That's ego, right? I got to have to be on TV. Like, my ego is not that big. So I just sort of waited and, you know, sort of just did a whole reassessment of my life. And coming out of the summer in the fall, I said, okay, well, I'm going to start maybe considering some options. And Linda Yaccarino came around to Twitter and, you know, she's very respected in the business, had worked for NBC and worked at Turner Broadcasting, which was part of CNN. So a lot of people I knew really respected her. And so they started talking to me and courting me. And then I said, look, the only way that I kept saying no, the only way that I'm going to join the platform, which was to be a distribution partner and a content partner. I didn't work for them. They had no editorial. They would have no editorial control over my show. And then I would get to do on the platform exactly what Don Lemon does. And that's question people, truth to power, center right or center left, however you want to see me, right? I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm not registered with a political party. And I said, that's the only way I'm going to do it. And there are times, Linda, and also other members of her team, that I'm going to have to criticize the person who owns this platform. And they said, absolutely, he would love that. He would love the criticism. I'm sure it would be great. You guys would go back and forth. So, what, you know, let's do it. So negotiations are going about. Elon was involved with the negotiations. Everyone, great, Don, we want you to come on the platform. Here's a deal. CES is happening. We want you to come out to CES. Linda wants to do this announcement. It's going to be a big splash. If you don't come out to CES, the deal is off. I'm like, okay, fine. So I couldn't get there because they asked me like in the afternoon on a Thursday, I forget when it was, or I forget what day of the week it was. I could not get there. So I couldn't make it there that night because there were no flights available and they were looking around for maybe we can get you there on a private plane or whatever. And that didn't happen. So I came out the next morning, I think on like, I flew like on JetBlue or something or Delta. I think it was JetBlue. We want your fiance to come out. We're going to take care of you. We'll give you a suite and then do us a favor. You get a massage because you've been such a team player. We're like, okay, great. You're very kind of you. Dry January. They're like, can we buy you some champagne? We're not drinking. It's dry January. So Tim and I flew out. We got there, we go to dinner, everything is great. We want to have a big party for you. You're, you know, announced all the content partners, me, Tulsi Gabbard, and Jim Rome at the time, all content partners, and they were very happy about the deal. I went to Twitter headquarters to meet with the staff to figure out what they want to do with me, what kind of things I liked, what, you know, what they could do for me on the platform, yada, yada. I did an upfront with advertisers and, you know, all kinds of things. So I was living up to my part of the deal. We have all your support, Don. We can't wait for you to start. I wanted to start my show a week or two earlier than we launched. Linda said, Linda and Brett, who was Brett Weitz, who is a head of talent, asked me to move back a week or two because they didn't have a sponsor and they thought that they would it would be embarrassing not to have a sponsor when my first guest was Elon Musk. And so they said, give us some time to get a sponsor and because we want this done right and blah, 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 blah. So I even moved the launch of my show back a week or two for them. So I was a total team player. And, you know, Elon agreed to do the interview, and it was all great. That was it. Elon Musk was not my boss. No editorial control. Team player. That's it. That was a deal. That's it, Anthony Scaramucci. And then, you know, the interview happened, and he didn't like the interview. And so, you know, that's it.
Well, I mean, I get it, and I understand what happened.
You wanted to know exactly what it was. Sorry, I didn't really answer your question. The deal was that I was going to have a show regardless of X. I had a show, the Don Lemon Show, and X had nothing to do with it. By the time they approached me and the deal came about, they just wanted to be a content partner, a distribution partner in a show that was already going forward.
Right.
Right. So by moving my show, the launch date back, I was doing them a favor because they wanted to be on board. So what it was, three shows a week, 3 days a week for a show, a half hour show, 3 days a week. And what they wanted was some exclusive content on top of the three shows.
Right.
Maybe 10 minutes of exclusive content for 24 hours. It was exclusive to X, and then it would go everywhere else. So it was never anything that was exclusive. It wasn't an X show. It was a Don Lemon show with X as a distribution partner.
I want to play Linda for a second, who's obviously a very bright television executive. You're good for their brand because they decided to open the brand back up to this right wing lunacy. And under the notion of free speech absolutism, it's turned off a lot of corporate advertising. You know, Elon's upset about that, which is why he gave the big GFY moment at Dealbook. And now you're not on there. But if you were on there, it would help her in terms of expressing that there's balance on the platform, a result of which perhaps she could help bring in more advertisers. So I guess his behavior hurt him, didn't it, from a business perspective? We're forgetting about principles and journalism, but from actual dollars perspective, the ejection quickly of Don Lemon probably reinforces some of the things people think about him.
Well, I think, I've been listening to Bloomberg and also the Wall Street Journal. I've been reading, and that's their assessment. And they are more business publications. That's their assessment. I'm not qualifying myself this way, but they are saying Don Lemon was the biggest name for the, you know, this whole Twitter, new Twitter video platform. And it was a missed opportunity for Elon Musk. That's what they're saying. I do think it was a missed opportunity. Here's the thing, Anthony. You cannot say that I want to hear from other side. I want to hear the other side. I want to hear what Don Lemon has to say. I want to hear that perspective. And then once you hear that perspective, say, no, this is not what I want. That means that you don't want it. And that means that you're in an echo chamber. You're used to people feeding you the line. And when you don't hear that line anymore, it is anathema to everything that you think or know or have been told, that you recoil from it. You cannot do that. If I'm not calling you names, as you say, you know, as he said, the only thing that we take off the platform is if it's illegal. Nothing I did was illegal, but he didn't want me, at least as a business deal, still on the platform. So obviously it was just a matter of, I don't want to hear what you're saying. I don't want to be questioned, my authority questioned. Therefore, I'm taking my toys and my marbles and I'm going home. It's just that simple. I mean, how else can you look at it? If I say, Anthony Scaramucci, I want you to go into business with me. I want to hear your side. You're going to have my full support. And then all of a sudden you say, well, I just don't like what you said, so I'm taking it. It doesn't make sense. Do you know what I mean?
So but it's an obvious question. You know, Tesla had its worst quarter in the fourth quarter. Is the behavior hurting him? Is the behavior hurting his stock?
The behavior, look, I don't think his performance, look, for me, I don't know about the business part. I think Tesla is a good car, right? I mean, they drive themselves. Yeah.
Listen, he's a genius. I'm not saying he isn't. I have a lot of respect for him.
I don't know about genius. I know people throw that word around. I think he's smart when it comes to acquiring companies that are already in motion to do something big, and that is a talent within itself. But as far as developing technology, I don't think that is Elon Musk's.
Let me rephrase.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, but let me rephrase it. I'll qualify him as an entrepreneurial genius because there are three or four things that happened to him that he stayed on it. He has very admirable qualities of not giving up. By the way, that's the great irony. I bet if I had the two of you out to dinner one night, the two have way more in common than than you probably would see superficially. You know, you're doggedly determined. Your career is an improbable career. Reading your book, you hung in there when other people could have departed, and you've made a big name for yourself. And the Don Lemon Show is going to go on and have great success with or without X. And frankly, I would have liked to have seen you on there because I think it would provide more balance. But let me ask you the direct-to-consumer media question that I think is on everybody's mind, especially my audience. That's really the future, Don. Am I right? I mean, I'm watching the ratings go down on all these appointment televised shows. So where are we 5 years from now? Where is Don Lemon? Where is the media? Where is the dissemination of information? And by the way, this show, as an example, the ratings are ridiculously high on Speak Up. And I look at, shows sampling from CNBC and things like that. We frankly have higher ratings. We have more eyeballs because we're able to do longer format and people can plug and play into it anytime they want. So where are we 5 years from now in this?
Look, I don't think that there's going to be television will never go away. I mean, look, what you and I are doing right now is television. Right, the mechanism through which we are producing the television, it's just different, and the mechanism through which people are consuming it is different. But it's the same thing. So I don't see linear television going away. I think it's going to shrink. I think there's going to be very few people with huge contracts, right, who are TV stars, so to speak. I think that obviously live sports. Always going to be there for traditional television. I think live news events, it's always going to be there, but probably not with as big an audience because people now can stream it, right? If you look at some of the big ball games, the big sporting events are now streaming and they get some of the highest numbers. I think that we are going to move into streaming. I think it's going to get even more crowded and there's going to be more competition. But I think streaming is basically going to become what broadcast was. So people will be getting their content through this, what we're doing now. The weird thing is that, and I think it's, it should be a little bit concerning to people, is that people can narrow cast even more so. They get to pick and choose exactly what content they want to see and hear. So this could eventually push us into even, more, chambers where we just sort of listen to ourselves, right? Echo chambers of people where people are just sort of listening to whatever confirms or reaffirms their own beliefs. So, but I do think that this is the future. I think linear is dying, not dead yet. It's going to have a tail, but eventually it'll be over, kind of, if that makes sense. It's like radio. It's like radio and television. Radio never went away, but it doesn't have the influence that television the influence right. that it once had once television took over. So I think television won't have the influence it once had once streaming takes over.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it still has an influence. So let's go to some audience questions. I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but
we're not going to fight.
you want to fight with me? What do you want to fight about? I mean,
no. We've already gone through that. It's so weird. Like that was a whole weird thing about Elon. It's like, Elon, relax, man. Like it's not like just, you know, hey, I'm not, as I kept saying to him, I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. Just answer some questions and then we'll just move on.
Like, I watched it. So you're a good journalist. I watched you do that and it was going downhill. And you were trying to pull it back from going downhill. It was like a go-kart that was like out of control, right?
Yeah.
So like, what do you do in a situation where the go-kart's about to go out of control? It's going to crash into the tree.
And you just let it crash if you're a journalist. Crash. Like, Anthony, if I say to you, Anthony, look, you made this decision, whatever it is your business. And I say, and you say, it's somebody else's fault. And then I say, Anthony, how is it somebody else's fault? Aren't you the head of the company? Doesn't the buck stop with you? And you say, no. I'm like, wait, what? So I think it's all in the response for the other person. If you say no, then I think that's odd. And most people will say, well, it's your company. Or Donna would say, it's your career. The buck stops with you. So I think that's really where it went off the rails, where he wouldn't take responsibility for his own actions. And so I just had to let the go-kart go off the road.
I just really believe this, and maybe I'm wrong. I just feel that like he's got smart people around him, but they're probably afraid of him. A really smart person would have said to him, hey, man, you pissed off about the Don Lemon interview. Okay, he's on the left. You're probably center right. Who cares? Put him on the platform. It's good for both of you. It'll be good for the show. It'll be good for everything. Why do you care? Why are you getting upset? And the answer is, well, you know, my ego is here now. Maybe it started here, but it's here now. And what he said to me, I didn't like. And so let me show you how powerful I am. It's going to abruptly knock him off the network. And that, you know, I mean, it's just not the right behavior. And so like the question is, how does somebody like Linda or his people at SpaceX or these other people, how do they talk to him now? And can they reach him? And maybe they can't reach him anymore. And this really speaks to, you know, behavior in our society. Like I just turned 60. So you're a young pup. Okay. But just remember, beige don't age. We'll just leave it at that. Beige don't age.
And good beige don't age.
Good beige don't age.
Okay. We're not that far off, Anthony. I'm just a year or two behind you.
All right. Well, you look great. Okay. But I'm just letting you know, what did I learn? What did I learn? I learned that money corrupts people. I learned that money, there's a paradox to wealth, Don. It makes you lonely. Okay. If I have my own plane, I'm not flying Delta. I'm by myself. If I have my own yacht, I'm by myself. If I'm on a 20-acre estate, I'm sitting there by myself. There's a paradox to the wealth, and then it creates some level of insularity. And Howard Hughes, like,
but also within that, you are, because you don't want to be lonely, you're bringing people in to that circle who are going to kiss your butt in order to stay in that circle on the private jet and on the yacht and whatever. And so they're always going to be like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And you never hear anyone say, hey, you know what? You screwed up, or this isn't right, or you need to think about this. You never, ever hear that. And you know what? Just a little example for me. When I was at CNN, you know, I had part of my contract was a car, so which would take me to and from work. I spent more time sitting in traffic in the back of a black car by myself. And now, you know, I can afford a car or whatever, no big deal. But now I'm on the subway and people are like, hey, Don Lemon, I saw your Elon interview. Can I get a picture? You know, I agree with you on this, but I didn't agree with you on that. And maybe you guys should try to talk. And I love it. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right. And they're like, I don't see why you got so upset. I thought it was great, even though I thought that this question was hard. Or, you know, Tim and I are on the subway or you know, we're walking in the street and people, hey, famous couple, how are you? We stop and talk. Hey, this is my dog. This is your dog. And you get to actually know people because you're not in that bubble. That's a small example, but I feel like that's probably where Elon is and where most rich people are.
Listen, it's important. I live in a neighborhood for that reason. I want my kids to, I want them to be in a neighborhood. You know what I mean? I want them to be able to go in and out of the house, have their friends around, as opposed to live on some ridiculous estate somewhere. But all right, let's go to some audience questions, if you don't mind. Okay. Barbara Fadita is saying that you and I should get a rocket and do a podcast in outer space. That would probably cost us a lot of money, actually. But I would like to do that, actually. My wife would kill me. I've been reading a lot about deep sea mining. De Beers, other heavily invested. So emerging industry race like the Gold Rush, my thoughts. Okay, so this is from Jeff from Cincinnati.
I have no idea about that.
I'll answer that quickly. We'll move on to the next one. So I'm leery of the deep sea mining. And the reason I'm leery of the deep sea mining has to do with the costs associated with it and the insurance costs. And so I would be careful, Jeff. Let's go to the next one. You think TikTok will ever sell if this legislation passes?
Oh, that's a good one.
All right, so go ahead, Don. What do you think?
Well, I guess who I had on? Guess who's on the current show that just released last night? Kevin O'Leary.
Okay.
Kevin O'Leary's on the show, and you know Kevin O'Leary is has put in an offer, or what he believes is he wants to buy TikTok.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see if he does it. But I think it would be great if it sells. I don't know if it's going to sell. I think it would be great if someone like Kevin O'Leary buys it and it takes that Chinese algorithm out and it puts in one for the United States and one that, you know, doesn't necessarily, excuse me, steal our secrets. And at least if it does steal our secrets, it's not in some foreign hands. But I think it would be great if TikTok would sell, especially to an American.
So Kevin and I are close. We just did a verbal boxing match at the Faena Club in Miami. We had our boxing gloves on and we were debating each other on different things. And
the Faena Rose, did you guys do a speaking engagement there?
Faena Rose, we'll have to get him on speak up. He's a
with great, Pablo, right?
With Pablo, set it up for us, and it was a lot of fun. We got a lot of views. We had several hundred people in the room. All right, let's go to the next one. How can we invest in the AI boom? Data centers, of video. What do you think is the best way to get into the action? Coralyn from Texas. So NVIDIA for me is the best way to get into the action. And this is the biggest mistake I made in my life. And I think it's important to tell everybody, buy the quality. You don't have to be smarter than the average bear. If Apple is making the best phone or Samsung is making the best phone or they're tied, buy them both. If Amazon, you're getting a box at your house every single day, it's okay to own Amazon. You don't have to find next Amazon, buy Amazon.
Starbucks, whatever it is. And that is a genius. If there is, you know, we're talking about genius for Elon Musk, is that he buys things that are in motion that are good and he takes it to the next level. Yeah. So that is indeed
And I give him a huge credit for what he did with Tesla. He saw something, and I'll further embarrass myself. I have a good friend that's on Elon's boards. He asked me 15 years ago, listen, and maybe 20 years ago, he said, I made some money with this guy named Elon Musk and Peter Thiel at PayPal. Elon is starting a space exploration company, and he's also bought a EV, electric vehicle company. He's going to do both of those things at the same time, and I'm rolling my money into that. Would you like to put some money in? I said, no. Who's the dummy, Don? Me. So my friend went on to become a billionaire. And so, that's how life is. But to me, go with NVIDIA, buy it, hold it through the next cycle, even if it goes down 20%, buy it and put it away. Let's go to the next question. What's your take on Sam Bankman-Fried and what can we do to protect our crypto investments? So Steve from LA, I'm going to ask Don, ask him as well, because he's a good journalist. But I would say on your crypto investments, you can put them in your cold wallet, or you can store them in places like Fidelity, or you can buy the IBIT ETF from BlackRock. I think those things are all very safe, and you can stay out of the fray of trading. I would just be a long-term holder of this stuff. What's your take on Sam Bankman-Fried? He's about to be sentenced, Don.
I think the courts are going to decide that. I think Sam, obviously, he's in a world of trouble. And I think the courts are about to decide, but if I'm just looking at it, sort of a cursory, 30,000 view, I think he did some things that were unethical, allegedly. That looks like it's pretty unethical. And, I think he's going to pay the price for it. That's all I'll say. So, but let's wait till the verdict.
North of 30 years, south of 30 years.
I think it's going to be south of 30 years because it's money. I mean, it does hurt people. It is investments, but did he, is it like murder? No. I think it's going to be south of 30 years, but look, I could be wrong. Okay. What do you think?
I'm north of 30 years. This show is, of course, going to come out after the verdict. So we'll have to see if we're,
How you think it's going to be like a Madoff? He's going to get a lot of...
I don't think he gets the Madoff treatment because he's so young. But the problem is they had him dead to rights. They offered him a plea deal. He passed on the plea deal. He made the government go through the process of the trial. He perjured himself at trial, which has Judge Kaplan very upset.
Yeah,
these are contributing factors, but we'll see. And listen, he hurt me, Don. You know, he hurt my reputation. I was in business with him. I believed in him. I liked him. So I don't want to make it personal, but it was something that, hurt Skybridge. Having said all that, he's a young man. And so we're coming up on Easter. I'm not wishing him poorly, but I do think he's worth the 30.
But you bounce back, Anthony. That's what I do have to say about you. You're a very classy guy. And look, you're a survivor. And that's what that's two of the things that I really respect about you. You're classy and you're a survivor.
You are too. I didn't know lemons could bounce. I guess they bounce in the supermarket. You know what I mean? But I didn't know that. You're not only going to bounce back, you're gonna have an amazing next 5 years. That's my prediction. That's why I wanted to get you on the show. I want people to see the full Don Lemon. All right, we got one more question. If you choose a Don Lemon over an Andy Cohen New Year's Eve party, if you could choose a Don Lemon or an Andy Cohen
New Year's party, which would you choose?
Mike and Dave from the control room. Which one are you going to, Don?
Oh, I'm going to a Don Lemon party.
Me too. Let me tell you something, Mike and Dave. Eat your heart out. Scaramucci has been to more than one Don Lemon party, and they are fantastic. Okay?
What happens at a Don Lemon party stays at a Don Lemon party, Mooch. But can I just let him in on a secret?
Yeah.
One of the Don Lemon parties that you went to, I mean, more than one because you've gone a couple of times, was I give a gay pride party in the Hamptons every year, and Anthony and his wife come, and they have the best time ever. Yeah. Don't we have a great time?
Oh, it's the best, but let me tell you something, okay? What I love about you and why I know the best years ahead are for you is that you are you. And in a world where a lot of people have a hard time being themselves, you are you. I have a nephew who is gay, and I can't tell you how proud I am that he came out at age 17, as opposed to waiting or living a closeted life. And I look to people like you as role models for people like him. So I'm very proud to go to those parties, and I'm very proud to call you a friend. And as I said, your best years are ahead. And I just want to thank you for joining us here on Speak Up. And I'm looking forward to many episodes of the Don Lemon Show. Where do we find the Don Lemon Show?
You can find it on YouTube, which I would say go like and subscribe to our channel on YouTube, The Don Lemon Show. You can find it on X. You can also find it on iHeartRadio. You can find it on Spotify, and you can find it on Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you get your streaming content or podcasts, you can find The Don Lemon Show. So go sign up, like and subscribe. You'll get notices when it drops. And it's fun. You know, at the beginning, Anthony, when you're starting something from the ground up, it's fun and terrifying all at the same time. So
I'm in the middle of it. Story of my whole life, man. Story of my whole life. Well, I wish you nothing but great success. Thank you so much for joining Speak Up. And you're stuck with me, Lemon. You can't get rid of me. Okay? I'll see you in the Hamptons.
I'll see you, sir. Be well. Thanks so much.